Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Okay, so you know how everyone always says, oh, you got to watch out for those crazy neighbors.
Right.
Well, today's deep dive is all about that. We're talking nightmare neighbors.
The kind of stories that make you glad you live in an apartment building with like 50 floors between you and anyone else.
Exactly. And this one comes straight from one of our listeners, sent in their story. And let me tell you, it's a doozy.
So it starts out like a lot of these stories do. Nice, normal family, couple of kids, a dog or two.
Oh, yeah. They had a golden retriever, I think, and a little terrier mix.
Right, right. And they find this perfect house, suburbs, you know, quiet street, big backyard.
White picket fence.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Thinking, okay, this is it. Peace and quiet. We made it.
But like dot no O-P-E, enter. Carl.
And that's where things take a turn.
So picture this. They're just getting settled in, right? Boxes everywhere, probably still figuring out where the light switches are.
Oh, and that new house smell. Love that.
The best, right? Anyway, doorbell rings. It's their new neighbor, Carl. And Carl's got like the classic welcome to the neighborhood thing going on. Big smile, holding a plate of cookies.
Seemed harmless enough at the time, I'm sure.
Right. But our listener said these cookies were, well, let's just say they weren't exactly award-winning.
Yeah.
Hard as rocks and tasted like vaguely of dish soap.
Hmm. Okay, yeah. Maybe not the best baker.
Maybe. Or maybe it was an early sign of things to come.
Oh, how so?
Well, the first real issue pops up over this apple tree. Big, beautiful tree in our listener's yard. But some of the branches, they kind of hung over the property line a little bit.
Ah, I see. Trees and property lines. Always a recipe for complications.
Right. And at first, Carl's complaint seemed reasonable enough. Apples falling into his yard, making a mess.
Understandable.
So our listener, trying to be a good neighbor, trims the branches back, even brings Carl a basket of fresh-picked apples. You know, peace offering.
Nice gesture.
But Carl slams the door in their face. Doesn't even say a word, just slam.
Whoa, okay, that's not exactly neighborly.
Right. And it escalates from there. Carl starts gathering up all the apples, even the ones that fell on his side, and chucking them back over the fence.
Oh, come on.
Whoa. Swear to God, like some kind of apple-hurling maniac. Some even almost hit the dog. Then, get this, when our listener trimmed the branches back a little more, totally legally, by the way, Carl calls the city.
No way. What for?
Illegal tree mutilation, he called it. Like he was talking about some kind of crime scene.
What? Over a tree.
Over a tree. And it gets weirder because then we have the trash can incident.
Trash can incident.
This one was straight out of a spy movie. Our listener wakes up one morning and their trash cans are all over the place. Garbage everywhere. So they check the security cameras. And guess who they see lurking around at 2 a.m.?
Let me guess. Carl.
Bingo. Tipping over trash cans because they were too close to the property line.
You've got to be kidding me.
I know. They were completely within the rules, but, you know, Carl doesn't care about rules.
Clearly. It's almost like he was trying to intimidate them or something.
Right. It was getting creepy. So our listener decides, okay, this is ridiculous. We're replacing this old falling apart fence between our yards.
Makes sense. New fence, fresh start, maybe that'll help.
And just to be extra careful, they even hire a surveyor, mark the property line exactly.
Smart move, no room for argument there.
But Carl, he loses it, starts screaming about who says his fence, threatens to sue them if they touch it.
Oh boy.
And then, as if that wasn't enough, you know what he does? He gets a can of red spray paint and writes, "No trespassing on his side of the fence." Huge letters, like dripping down the wood.
Whoa. Okay, that's taking things to a whole new level.
Yeah.
So what do they do?
Well, that's a story for the next part of our deep dive. Okay, so we left off with Carl, our neighbor from hell, spray painting threats on his fence. It was like something out of a bad horror movie.
You know, it's interesting how territorial some people can get. Those boundaries, real or imagined, become like these battle lines.
Right. And Carl was definitely ready for war, armed with a can of spray paint and, well, a whole lot of weirdness. So our listener, they're trying to figure out, what do you do with that riot? Like, how do you even respond to that level of crazy?
I can only imagine the frustration. You move to the suburbs hoping for peace and quiet, and you end up in a standoff with a guy who seems to have declared war on your landscaping.
Seriously. So they decide, okay, fine, you want to block us out, we can block you out too. And they put up this privacy screen, like a 6-foot-tall thing, to block Carl's view of their yard.
A logical and probably necessary step at that point.
But they didn't stop there. Remember those tacky lawn ornaments I mentioned? They went all out. Pink flamingos, gnomes, those little windmills that spin and make that clicking sound, the whole shebang. It was like a visual representation of Carl's personality.
Oh, that's brilliant. Passive-aggressive decorating at its finest.
Right. It's like they were saying, fine, you want to be a nightmare neighbor? We can play that game too.
But I'm guessing Carl didn't exactly appreciate their artistic statement.
Nope. Not one bit.
His response. Stadium-strength floodlights, aimed right at their house, blasting all night long.
Wow. Escalation much. It's like he felt threatened by those pink flamingos and had to assert his dominance.
You know, I'm starting to think those weren't just regular cookies he brought over at the beginning. Maybe they were laced with something that made him, like, extraterritorial or something.
No, let's not jump to conclusions. But it does make you wonder, doesn't it? What's driving this level of hostility?
Right. Anyway, the battle continued. Bamboo was planted to block the floodlights. Carl put up speakers blaring obnoxious noises at all hours. It was like a weird suburban version of War of the Roses with less Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner and more, you know, dog poop.
Wait, dog poop? Did I miss something?
Oh, yeah. This is where it gets truly gross. One morning, our listener steps outside and there's this pile of something in their yard.
Don't tell me.
Yep. Dog poop. A mountain of it. And there's a little handwritten sign stuck in it that says, courtesy of Carl's Compost Service.
Ugh.
That's disgusting. And actually pretty clever in a twisted sort of way, turning something harmless into a weapon.
Right. It's like he was weaponizing his dog's digestive system. But it was more than just gross. It was violating, like this invasion of their space and just, ugh.
It's the psychological aspect, right? The feeling of being harassed and powerless.
Exactly. And that's when they made a decision. A really tough one, but one that, unfortunately, a lot of people in these situations end up making.
What did they do?
They decided to sell their house, give up on their dream home, all because of Carl.
Wow. To be driven out of your own home by someone else's behavior, that's incredibly sad.
It is. And you know what? Even with that, Carl wasn't done. He had one final act of revenge planned, perfectly timed to make sure our listener truly regretted ever moving next door to him.
Oh, no. What did he do now?
It all went down on the day of their open house. Potential buyers are showing up, excited to see this beautiful house. And as they're getting out of their cars, they're hit with this wall of sound coming from Carl's side of the yard.
A wall of sound? What do you mean? Like music?
Oh, it was way worse than that. Think barking dogs, babies crying, and then, like, pièce de résistance, a man screaming, help, I'm being murdered.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. It was like he was trying to create the most unappealing soundtrack possible.
And I'm guessing it worked.
Oh, yeah. People were freaking out, running back to their cars. The open house was a disaster.
So they're stuck with a house they can't sell, all thanks to Carl and his unique methods of neighborly persuasion.
Pretty much. It's a reminder that sometimes, even in the nicest neighborhoods, you can end up next door to someone who's just, well, a nightmare.
It really does make you wonder, what can you do in a situation like that?
That's a great question, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about in the final part of our deep dive. We're going to look at some practical tips for dealing with difficult neighbors, setting boundaries, and knowing when it's time to, you know, call in the professionals. I don't know about you, but after hearing that story about Carl and the murder scene open house, I'm starting to think maybe apartment living isn't so bad after all.
Right. At least you can't hear your neighbors quite as well.
Exactly. But for those of us who do live in close proximity to other humans, sometimes you got to deal with those tricky neighbor situations.
And while most neighbors aren't going to be quite as extreme as Carl, conflict does happen. Fences, noise, pets. It's like a recipe for potential disagreements.
So how do you deal with it? Like, is there a handbook for neighborly etiquette I missed out on?
Well, there's no official handbook, but there are definitely some strategies you can use to navigate those tricky situations and hopefully avoid an all-out war with the guy next door.
Okay, so before we get to the call the cops and run stage, what are some things you can try when you first realize, oh, okay, this neighbor might be a bit much?
Well, the first step, believe it or not, is actually the hardest for a lot of people. It's communication. Talk to your neighbor.
See, I knew I should have signed up for that How to Talk to Humans course in college.
It's not always easy, especially when you're dealing with someone who might be, shall we say, a little on the unreasonable side.
Like Carl, who apparently communicates primarily through passive-aggressive lawn ornaments and dog poop.
Right. But sometimes A simple conversation can clear up misunderstandings or set some ground rules before things escalate.
Okay, so let's say I'm brave enough to approach my neighbor. What's the best way to do it? Should I bring cookies? Maybe not cookies, actually, after that whole Carl situation.
Probably best to skip the cookies for now. The key is to be direct, but also respectful. Don't go in guns blazing, accusing them of being a terrible neighbor.
More like, hey, I noticed your music has been pretty loud lately. Is everything okay? Not, hey, your taste in music is terrible and I can hear every bass line through my walls.
Exactly. Focus on specific issues and try to find a compromise. Maybe they're not even aware that their music is bothering you.
So assume good intentions until they start flinging dog poop over the fence.
Right. But if talking doesn't work or if the situation feels unsafe, then you have to set some boundaries.
Boundaries, like those invisible lines that you hope people won't cross, but they inevitably do.
Well, in this case, you have to make those lines a little more visible. Clearly communicate your expectations and what you're willing to tolerate.
So like, hey, I'm happy to chat about the fence, but please don't yell at me or threaten to call your lawyer.
Exactly. And be prepared to enforce those boundaries. If the behavior continues, you might need to involve a third party.
Like a mediator or a really tall fence installer.
Maybe both. But seriously, sometimes bringing in a neutral third party, like a mediator or even another neighbor, can help de-escalate the situation and find a resolution.
And if all else fails, there's always the legal route. Restraining orders, lawsuits, that kind of thing.
Those are definitely options, but they can be costly and time-consuming, and they don't always guarantee a positive outcome.
And let's be honest, sometimes you just can't reason with a Carl. Some people are just committed to making everyone else's life miserable.
It's true. And in those cases, sometimes the best and healthiest option is to distance yourself.
Even if that means selling your dream home and moving.
Sometimes. It's not an easy decision, but sometimes your mental and emotional well-being are worth more than staying in a situation that's causing you constant stress and anxiety.
Well, that's definitely some food for thought. I think the biggest takeaway here is that dealing with difficult neighbors is never easy.
It's not. But it's important to remember that you're not alone. These situations are more common than you might think.
And just knowing that there are strategies you can try, that you have options, can make all the difference.
Exactly. And remember, sometimes the best defense is a good offense. Get to know your neighbors, build those relationships early on, and hopefully you'll create a community where Carls don't stand a chance.
Great advice. So next time you see your neighbor, maybe strike up a conversation, but maybe skip the cookies just to be safe.
Agreed.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive into the wild world of Nightmare Neighbors. Thanks for joining us.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.